Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. And Jim, our good news for a lot of this week has been related to getting rid of Obamacare. We had the judicial decision earlier this week declaring the individual mandate unconstitutional. We had the poll from Rasmussen showing that 58% of Americans still want it repealed. We got a Senate vote on it. We didn't get it approved in the Senate, but all the Republicans hung together. And we watched Mark Warner and Joe Lieberman fink out of even having to vote on it again. Why Lieberman didn't do it, he's not even on the ballot again, is beyond me. But one Democrat did do something on the floor in this debate that I think is good news for us. It's Bill Nelson of Florida, who incidentally does have a reelection in 2012. And he has seen what has happened on the district court level in his own state. And he, instead of wanting to watch this play out in all the different levels of the appellate court, wants to have it come directly to the Supremes.
Isn't it in the common sense interest if we would come here and join together in a resolution to petition the Supreme Court to have an expedited review of this case?
Now, Jim, I'm guessing this is a guy who probably doesn't want this hanging over his head for 2012, but as long as there are four conservatives and a moderate justice on the Supreme Court who could very well side with the conservatives as compared to anyone who might replace one of those five by President Obama, the sooner this gets to Washington, the better.
Yeah, Nelson is one of these guys who earlier in the debate said that he was absolutely certain that the Obamacare was constitutional and there was really nothing to worry about on this. And then later on, as the case progressed, he began to say, well, I want to study it more. I want to look at this some more. And then he has kind of this embarrassing circumstance of a judge in his own state offer a really comprehensive soup to nuts argument of, no, it's pretty clearly unconstitutional. And because of that, we have to invalidate the entire kit and caboodle. Clearly, he wants this off his plate as quickly as possible. And if the Supreme Court says that it's unconstitutional, then it would invalidate the legislation. And he'd say, look, don't blame me for Obamacare. It's gone away. I have a feeling he's not going to get his way. On the one hand, you can see the Supreme Court can act very quickly when it has to, i.e. Bush versus Gore. But without this, there's really nothing that says this has to be resolved right now, other than the discomfort of certain red state Democratic senators. And I'm not sure that's going to be enough to get Supreme Court to bump this ahead of everything else and skipping ahead of the usual steps in the process. Folks who follow the Supreme Court more might be able to have a reasoning for why they might do this. But I have a feeling the Supreme Court is just going to not want to rush this decision. Clearly, this is a very big decision. I think Ed Morrissey speculated that really this court case may determine the 2012 campaign. Having Obamacare struck down as unconstitutional would become a huge take away one of the Obama administration's signature and perhaps only major achievement. And if it does say it's constitutional, then I think a lot of conservatives will feel like they've had a stinging defeat of a point they've argued for quite some time. So. Everyone wants to rush ahead and see what Anthony Kennedy says and resolve this whole thing. But my guess is that we're probably going to be left waiting. As Robert George said during the recount fight, there's a reason they call them the Supremes. They don't really love us, baby. They just keep us hanging on.
That's right. And there's absolutely no reason for the government, the Obama administration, to want to do this, because the longer it plays out, chances are there could be a change in the Supreme Court, which would most likely only be to their advantage. And, of course, if the 2012 elections come and go before this comes to the Supremes, they'll know that basically whether or not all this stuff is going to come to pass in 2014 or whether Republicans will have the White House and Congress to be able to repeal it without having to go through the court system. So it may come to the Supremes before then, but there's no incentive for the Obama administration to try and fast track this.
So. Yeah, I would just note, most folks who I've read on this subject seem to indicate that, the idea of a decision this year is not terribly likely, or this term or this, year on the schedule. But a decision sometime in 2012 does seem pretty likely. And boy, would that be a bombshell on the campaign trail.
We've talked about Egypt as the number two martini, the bad martini, for several days now. No difference here. But now we're shifting it over to the president's cone of silence, as I like to put it, because this is a guy who will basically show up anywhere when asked to talk about anything from filling out his NCAA brackets to whatever that Discovery or History Channel show is about how did they do that kind of a thing? You know,
but Mythbusters.
Mythbusters.
I was hoping they would take on the myth that if you like your plan, you can keep it under Obamacare. Instead, it was some solar death ray thing. Or something like that.
Exactly. Well, anyway, the president's been mysteriously quiet. He's shown up for a couple of very short statements on this. He's taken no questions. And finally, Robert Gibbs got pestered about that at the briefing because reporters want to actually be able to ask some questions of the president. And Gibbs had this to say.
We'll continue to keep you up to date as best we can on what goes on, knowing quite honestly that some things in foreign policy have to be done away from TV cameras.
Jim, so far the strategy has basically been to go on TV a few minutes after Hosni Mubarak has gone on TV and essentially say that his reluctant decisions have been the right ones so far. Other than that, we haven't seen much. Although the good news for reporters is that they can finally ask him some questions when he meets with Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper later this week. So reporters can look forward to asking their questions to the president while the prime minister looks on.
Or provides cover. You know?
My
favorite take on this came from Don Serber, who said, look, if you really want to know what Obama thinks of Egypt, just call Julian Assange and find out from WikiLeaks. Look, on the one hand, you have to. I have a few molecules of sympathy, of understanding that, look, this is international diplomacy. The stakes are very, very high. The situation is changing rapidly. And the president of the United States, if he, you know, speaks off the cuff and uses the wrong word, there may be very big consequences of this. And this is why when Gibbs goes out and speaks to the press, he's reading from prepared statements and he's really not offering anything beyond those prepared statements that I'm sure have been reviewed by the State Department 20 times and everybody's weighed in to make sure that it is not clear, it is not direct, and no one can really understand what it means. That way it cannot harm U.S. interests in any way, shape, or form. The only problem is, well, okay, there are a couple of problems with this. One is that people like me are left with the president kind of just, you know, not enjoying the equivalent of mashed potatoes from our president when really big, important conflicts are occurring and U.S. interests are at stake. And the second thing is that, you know, as a point I've made earlier this week, Greg, look, this is the most brilliant mind in the history of the world, according to some of the 2008. You know, this is the greatest orator of all time. And if you look back and read Obama's speech in Cairo, one, it seems completely relevant to the events occurring on the ground here in Egypt, and completely directly relevant. And in a way, if he'd just come out and reread that speech, I think a lot of people like myself would be fairly pleased. That was a forthright defense of American values and our principles of universal human rights, et cetera, et cetera. Then it's been hedging and hesitant, and you know, some smart folks like Ed Morrissey have said to me, look, at a time like this, the president has to keep his options open. I'm not sure I completely agree with that interpretation of events, but very well. But I would just note, now we have this guy who got really, really persnickety about the accusation that he's nothing without his teleprompter, all of a sudden can't work without a prepared statement. All of a sudden, this criticism that was supposed to be debunked and was all a creation of the fervent imaginations of us crazy right-wingers now is explicitly true in this. And as you mentioned, not only has Obama done every TV show under the sun, now, just like when there was a Christmas bombing over Detroit, just as when the oil spill was getting worse and worse in the Gulf, whenever we really want to hear from Obama, that's when he goes to the bunker and won't talk to anyone.
On to the third martini now in our last couple of minutes. And one of the things we talked about, I believe, just on Wednesday, Jim, was that things are looking good for Republicans and possibly taking back the majority in the Senate in 2012. And one of the big bullseyes out there, and yes, I am going to use that term, sorry about that, MSNBC, is Montana and Democratic freshman Senator John Tester. We just learned in the last couple of days that it's very likely that at-large Congressman Denny Rehberg is going to challenge Tester. And one of the things he's going to do is make an announcement on Saturday. And Michelle Bachmann, the head of the Tea Party caucus, of which Rehberg is a member, will be there. So here's John Tester responding to all this with ABC Online, trying to figure out if he understands who he's actually running against.
He's going to bring Michelle Bachmann to Montana. That's who he'll be standing beside when he announces. And quite frankly, I've got a very, very strong record on veterans because I think we ought to live up to the promises we made veterans in this country. She has just come out with a proposal to put draconian cuts on the VA.
I didn't hear a word in there about Rehberg actually being supportive of the bill or any discussion of what Tester would like to cut given our massive deficits right now. But apparently, he thinks Michelle Bachmann is his opponent.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth noting, Tester won his seat by 1% over Conrad Burns, who had been just extensively tied to the Abramov scandal back in 2006. So maybe if you're Tester, you have to do something like this, that you really don't have that many good cards to play. You are a loyal Democrat in a red-leaning state in a presidential year. So you just got to go out and just, you know, whack the heck out of Reberg every chance you get. And Michelle Bachmann, you know, might provide some easy opportunity there. My guess is that this is, you know, we are close to 2 years out, and he's going to need some more arguments before, you know, before then. It's not really surprising that Reberg would bring in Bachmann. He's a conservative member of the House. She's a conservative member of the House. I'm sure the two have probably worked pretty closely on this. There is a part of it that wonders if Reberg wants to bring out Bachmann so early in his campaign. You know, if you're trying to say to your state, think of me as a Senate candidate, maybe you don't bring in the surrogates yet. But, right. You know, look, this is, you know, we're, like I said, nearly 2 years out. My guess is that this quarrel will end up being a very minor point once the history of this Senate race is written.
Yeah, I think we could pretty much take that to the bank. Apparently, they're both going out there for some Lincoln-Reagan Day dinner, obviously the former president's 100th birthday coming up this weekend. And obviously, all good conservatives will be celebrating that in their own way, possibly with three martinis. And that's what we'll do tomorrow as well. Jim, see you then.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Friday for the next Three Martini Lunch.